What's the biggest bugbear every writer faces? Writer's block. Ah, but writer's block doesn't exist. What? That's a contradiction, you claim. We face writer's block every time we sit down to write. How can writer's block not exist? Well, maybe these next three episodes can help. Welcome to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found on thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. We're bookcasting with Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee, copyright 2017, revised 2018. In this episode, we tackle every writer's bugbear, only we have a problem. There's no such thing as writer's block. That's chapter 5 of Think Like a Pro, one simple injunction, writer's block doesn't exist. Instead, the problem of writer's block is better, yet much worse than the claim. When I claim writer's block does not exist, for most writers, I'm speaking heresy, but not for professionals. Do you know someone who claims to suffer from writer's block? Have you yourself ever said, "I am blocked. I can't write anything"? I have struggled many, many times with that ailment in the past. I even believed that diagnosis for a few years because no words would come from my fiction. I thought I was blocked, even as I wrote lesson plans and created quizzes and composed emails, long emails. And then a couple of things dawned on me. The first dawning came in my search to end my own block. I realized that block meant to be unable to put words on the page. That certainly wasn't my problem. I could put words on the page. I can make lesson plans and tests. That's when I discovered that true writer's block is an impossibility. The second dawning came when I saw that major life crossroad coming. You know, the major crossroad that I described in the introduction. I thought of all the ways that I had pursued excellence in my job performance, a job that I enjoyed even though parts of it were hell. If ever I were to achieve my dream of writing professionally, I would need to pursue excellence in my job performance of writing. Writing needed to become my focus. With the approach of that major crossroad, I needed to choose. Did I want to continue devoting all my brain energies and creativity to a job that would soon end? Or did I want to pursue my dream? Time for the dream. Oh, I still devoted myself to my job during the work hours, yet I began to scrupulously maintain the compartments of work and home. I refused to take work home with me. I set up a plan, I set up long-term and short-term goals, and I began to change the focus of my off hours. Brain tired, energy zapped, creativity sucked, I still managed to put words on the page when I came home from work and finished the day's obligations. 250 words, then 500. 1,000 words after work became a celebration. Many Saturdays became blissful days because I woke fresh and could spend the day writing in 2-hour increments, 8 to 10, 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 8 to 10. Even on the days when the muse danced away in a dark forest I couldn't reach, I managed words on page. Even when I gutted everything I had written for 5 straight days, I still achieved. The daily word count worked steadily to build a scene. The scene built into a chapter. Chapters built into a novel. I met the short-term goals, then the long-term goals, and kept going. Heresy is an opinion contrary to generally accepted beliefs, according to Merriam-Webster, my go-to dictionary. I'm heretical because I believe it is impossible to suffer from writer's block, truly impossible. I can hear the clamor for beheading even as I type away in my little wren's nest. Listen to me now, or you will be forever a victim. Writer's block is impossible. Remember the definition of writer's block? To be unable to put words on the page. Is that impossible for you? Even when I could not think of a single character in a single scene, I could put words on the page. Words might not have been the ones I wanted to create, but I was still composing lesson plans, creating out of my head worksheets on figurative language, guided poetry analysis, and tests. I composed emails. I wrote letters. I sent messages. I put my name on Christmas cards. I'm old-fashioned. I was writing, just not the writing that I wanted to do, and the writing that I was doing was sucking all my creative energies. I started cutting the deep composing that I had always done during my work to save creative energies for my goal. I didn't cut it all, but I cut enough. Artists can paint. They may not be painting what they want to. They may hate what's on the canvas. It's boring and useless. They may think drivel rather than art, gimmick rather than truth. But they can apply color to the canvas. That's painting. You may think you're blocked, but you can compose a Facebook message or a tweet or an email. You can write a blog, even if in your mind it's boring and useless, drivel rather than art, gimmick rather than truth. Truth survives gimmickry. Artists can repaint. They can change perspective or techniques or even style. They can paint for fun or for anger, to share laughs, or to anticipate burning, a ritual bonfire of the drivel. Every stroke of the brush moves them out of the stoppage they found themselves in. The writer's truth, we also survive gimmickry. We can rewrite those boring, useless, dribbling words. We can apply a new viewpoint or setting or changed outcome of a scene. We can toss off a quick note or pen a diatribe, share it for laughs, or get the fire out of our blood, a burning of what angers us and never needs to enter the sunshine. Every keystroke on the laptop moves us out of the stoppage we find ourselves in. Stoppage does happen. Barriers, blockades, those come up. But don't call them writer's block. Don't fall into that fallback mentality. As writers, we have to be halfway decent at self-analysis and looking at our foibles and weaknesses and those of other people. We find guides to illuminate our character's flaws and sins. Self-analysis can also guide us out of that horrid time that people half jokingly call writer's block. Don't joke about it. It's truly horrid, but find a way to defeat it. If we must block anything, we should block the petty upsets of life. We learn to admit when we're wrong and keep moving ahead. When we find ourselves dug into deep holes, we have to figure out ways to climb out, whether we're living or writing. We constantly look for ways to improve. We may attend conferences and seminars, but we can teach ourselves 10 months of the year. We spend 1 month on vacation. The other month is for those widely spaced days when we kick and scream at the world we've created. So, our self-analysis, that's to determine what is this barrier between us and our writing. When we find ourselves unable to work, we need to diagnose the problem. It's not writer's block. Refuse to say that. We can write. We can put words onto the page. Writer's refusal is the least of the three misidentified problems that a writer confronts. The other two are writer's procrastination, that will be next episode, and writer's inertia, which is the real bugbear and will be the following episode. The particular malady of writer's refusal occurs when some perverse instinct inside us decides that it doesn't want to do what it knows good and well that it must do. We chase other things by video gaming or extending our errands rather than heading to our writing area and focusing on our primary project. We claim that we have laundry to do, then plant ourselves in front of the TV while the washer and dryer work for us. You know, in the 45 minutes that the washer or dryer is running, we can write and polish a scene. We have set aside time to write. Suddenly, we look around and discover that we're in parts unknown to our writing space. This isn't writer's block. This is refusing to write. The writing has lost its first white-hot allure. Our refusal to write occurs for two very simple reasons. Either we need an escape or an unburdening when we've taken on too much too soon. Desperate to escape? Then schedule an escape. Escape with a vacay. Take a vacation from writing. Take off for one day and write about that escape when you climb into bed that night. Aeneas Nien said that we write to taste life twice, in the moment and in retrospection. Or we can escape with play. Write something just for fun. Something is always there in our minds. It may not be what we want. It may not be what we can see how to use, yet it's there. Our subconscious gifted it to us and is demanding that we deal with it. Use it or lose it, the cliche says, and that truth is never truer than with writing. Writing just anything that's not about my current project doesn't count, you retort. Wrong. It counts. It's writing. And we're talking about our brains wanting to escape that current project. We can't let our brains escape through a total shutdown. We shouldn't, and we will not. Escape the grind. Write something that you know you're going to trash. I would call this grind escape with paper and pen or pencil. The brain has a direct connection to your dominant hand, not to your shared hands on the keyboard, whether you use all fingers or all thumbs. Formation of the letters awakens the brain to activity. Writing words awakens thought. We need to pour out our below-the-surface thoughts, which can only happen if we are pouring straight out of our intuitive side of the brain rather than the critical side. Whether you delete it or burn it or shred it, just pour words onto the paper and give yourself the freedom to trash it. Something needs to come out. If you need to escape the grind of writing, then something is simmering beneath your conscious mind, simmering and wanting to boil, and you need to control that simmer. Here's an escape exercise to try. I'll put the examples on the website, therightfocus.blogspot.com. First, pick an evocative word. Fear. Beginnings. Falling leaves. Manipulation. Based on that word, and with that word, begin writing. Don't stop. Don't edit. Don't reread. Follow where your brain leads. Don't worry about cliches or song phrases or anything like that. Just write and write and write. After 3 to 5 minutes, you will hit a stop. The brain is throwing up static. To get past the static, write the last word, the one that carries an idea, over and over until a new thought surfaces, and follow that one as well. A new thought will surface. Don't judge it. Just run with it. Don't try to be coherent with all the ideas tied together. Don't try to censor what pours out. Write for 15 solid minutes. Whenever you hit a stop, follow the same procedure as before. Repeat, then run with the first thought up. I used to do this exercise with my 9th grade students. To encourage them, I would write with them. For the first 2 times, I would read what I had written after we all finished. After that, I would ask for volunteers, and only volunteers, to share what they thought was their best idea within their writing. We did this about once a week. If 9th graders who thought they had nothing in their heads can churn out an entire page in 7 minutes, you can do the same. Use this grind escape whenever you feel like you're blocked. For killing the grind, however, I believe this exercise works best when the free-flow writing lasts for 15 solid minutes. The 7-minute exercise can become a weekly habit that will get you in touch with your right brain creative muse. Take the escape. After it's over, write about it, journal or blog or free sketch, and the next day, return to your current project. Never wait on your muse. You are a pro. You are in charge of your writing, not a fickle goddess who runs away into the forest. Never abandon the project. Just give it a little time off. Writer's refusal may also occur when we're overscheduled. What we think is writer's block can be a sense of being overwhelmed. Even God rested on the 7th day. Don't be a slave driver. Take a break from that current project only. After all, we are creating, and 6 days of creation will sap our brains. Obey a writing Sabbath on whichever day of the week works best for you. After all, Saturday or Sunday as the Sabbath is merely an arbitrary human decision, much as the length of months is an arbitrary human decision. Break away from Project 1 to work on Project 2. Take a couple of days, or 3 or 4, to break ground for the next project. Do your research for Project 2. Sketch up ideas. Block out a series of scenes. Explore character development. Draw out a house plan. Or create a map with a free program such as SmartDraw. Or do some basic marketing drafts for Project 1. Marketing, by the way, is a separate project from writing the novel. Even though both are conjoined like twins, they require completely different thinking caps. Go ahead and write the blurb for the story. Figure out your tagline. Decide what your promotions are going to be. Sometimes writing the blurb keeps you on track. And if you stray off, then you can always rewrite the blurb to fit. Taglines need to capture the story in a catchy way. Call them one-sentence wonders. They make great ad copy and tweets. Taglines require tight writing, 20 words or less, whether on the cover or in an ad or both. Taglines are just as important as the opening line and the opening scene of the book. They also require a bit of rhetorical savvy, either with climactic ordering or alliteration or clever metaphors or some other rhetorical device. And they should give a quick glimpse of the story and spark the reader's interest. For my book, Christmas with Death, the tagline is Christmas is for miracles, merriment, and murder. Readers know from the beginning that the book is a murder mystery. The alliterative M creates a bit of catchiness that will hopefully gain a second glance from the reader. When I ran into a slump, I spent a day working on this tagline. Several hours' work that resulted in only 7 words seems like an inefficient use of time. However, those 7 words are the first ones that the reader will see. As I continued writing Christmas with Death, I skipped back into the story to add scenes and situations to develop the ideas of miracles and merriment. When the draft for Project 1 is ready for editing, you have your marketing decided. Once you have completed Project 1, and not just ended it, you can tranquilly turn to Project 2. Sometimes, however, a simple breakaway is not sufficient. Other breakaways are available. You can break away from genre. Writing the same type of thing, while it has equal measures of comfort and fit, doesn't always feed our brains. While marketing is different from writing, it doesn't really break away from Project 1. That's when breaking away from the genre you're working in becomes a necessity. One of the best ways to break away from genre is to write something different from what you usually write. We spend our days working on our projects, composing emails, popping off tweets, and spewing out Facebook posts. When you need a breakaway from genre, you need to write something else. Whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, break away with a poem. A poem requires a completely different skill set. While you don't have to rhyme, you do need to create highly visual images. You compose in tight phrasings rather than long sentences. Or write a journal. Follow the instructions as for the escape exercise, yet continue the writing for 30 minutes. Just let the writing flow freely without considering structure or unity or coherence or even communication. Freely written and unstructured writing benefits the slavish novelist. If you're a poet, then write a story. This requires you to lengthen your thoughts and add in descriptions of characters and settings that you normally just touch upon. Compressing ideas into a compact poem helps the prose writer clarify ideas and tighten words. The lengthy exposition and narration of a story helps stretch out the poet's thought process, loosening it up before retightening. Break away from words completely when these escapes and first breakaway options don't work. How do you break away from words? You work with numbers. When you believe your creativity is zapped, turn to something totally analytical. Take an hour or two to set up a business ledger. Track the month-by-month income and outgo as a report. You can call it credits, debits, or earnings expenses if you wish. Project expenditures into the future. What earnings are needed to fund those projected expenses? After totting up columns of numbers, the brain will beg to return to creativity. How long should an escape or breakaway last? One day, a week, a month, a season? However long it takes to become unburdened by the project. Caveat: if we escape longer than a week, dive into another major project while letting the first one sleep. We should let one project sleep while we work on another one. The combination of rest work allows the subconscious to focus on project one, while the analytical conscious part of our brain works on project two. When the subconscious engages, creativity thrives. We'll talk about creativity in a future episode. Plunge into the white-hot creative rush of Project 2. In a week, check on Project 1. Brains that say no then will return to Project 2. Brains that say yes will pick up and run with Project 1. Every day that we think about Project 1 while we work on Project 2 is a good sign. Our brains want to take it back up, and our brains will tell us, sometimes with a shout, when it needs to return. The need to return will seem overpowering. Juggling 2 projects at once can be a good thing, especially for full-time writers who can build in a break. Project 1 in the a.m., Project 2 in the p.m. after a lunch and a walk. When we beat writer's refusal, we've beaten that little gremlin that tried to control us and that multiplied exponentially, just like the movie. That's writer's refusal, and we can defeat it. Go to thewritersfocus.blogspot.com for 2 examples of a grind escape. Any word will do. Next Wednesday, we look at the 2 factors that drive writer's procrastination, an even more worrisome bugbear that wants to convince us we have writer's block. Remember, writer's block doesn't exist. Write something as you write on.